Smoke made his purchases that afternoon, and although the owner of the general store was curious about what the stranger bought, he asked no questions. Smoke bought several hundred feet of rope, dynamite, caps, and fuses. He bought a rifle and several hundred rounds of .44s. Then he bought a sawed-off shotgun and several boxes of shells. He carried his purchases back to the livery and packed it very carefully.
Thanks for not spreading my name around town.
I figured you wanted it that way. You got people on your back trail, Smoke?
Yeah, big bunch of them.
Fuckers must be fools.
I haven't figured out exactly what they are, to tell the truth. I'm trying to avoid a fight. They just keep coming at me.
I think them folks coming up behind you are gonna be awful sorry when they do don't catch up with you.
Smoke went to bed shortly after dark and was up long before dawn. The liveryman had his quarters in the big barn and had coffee boiling when Smoke climbed down from the loft.
I ain't fitting for nothing till I have my coffee. Now, some folks say I'm plumb grouchy. I figured you for a coffee-drinking man, too.
You figured right. What's between here and the Montana line?
Well, damn little. Couple trading posts, all.
That's what I thought.
I tell you, you got a wicked look in your eyes.
I got wicked thoughts in my head. Tell the people in this town that while they might think they owe me, don't refuse any type of service to this bunch that'll be coming along the next day or two. They're a bad bunch, so don't cross them.
I understand, Smoke.
Be sure you do. See you around, partner.
I'll see you around, Smoke.
Angel Cortez picked up Smoke's trail on the west side of the Salt River. Some rocks had been disturbed, and that was enough to put the Mexican on the trail. Satisfied he had the right trail, Angel rode back to the main party and told them the news.
Excellent.
I know where he's going now. Little settlement just a few miles north of here. Tom Lilly's town, so I've been told.
I bet it ain't, if Jensen rode through there.
No bets there. We'll soon find out.
The townspeople heeded Smoke's warning, but they did not like it and made that very clear by having every man and woman in the town armed when Von Hausen and the party rode in. It made for quite a show of force.
Yeah, he's been here. Don't nobody make any quick moves or act hostile. Smoke's done shoved some steel up these folks' backbone, they're gonna be quick on the shoot. You boys all understand that?
They understood, all right. And so did Van Housen and his party of adventurers.
They'll have us a bite to eat, conduct our business quietly, and we shall be gone in an hour.
Probably be gone sooner than that. He's a close son in the cafe, winner.
Leo Grant looked at the abundance of sawed-off shotguns in the hands of the grim-faced men, and he shuddered. He'd seen men cut in two with those things, and it was a sickening sight.
Saloon's closed, too. I think that we'd just better tend to our business as quickly as possible and ride on.
Yeah, I concur, Nat. What say you, Friedrich?
Yes, from the looks of things, this Tom Lilly, and I would assume his men, too, are no longer around.
Oh, they're around, 6 feet under. I got an idea. Why don't most of us just ride on through and we'll be waiting for y'all outside of town? This is a stacked deck if I ever seen one. There's men on rooftops with rifles, too.
Yes, good idea. Ride on. You men leading the pack animals, stay to help load.
Von Hausen's stomach muscles knotted up when he led his group into the general store. There were men all around the store, armed with sawed-off shotguns.
We mean no harm to anyone. We just want to resupply and be gone within the hour.
Fine. But you gotta find this mighty expensive shopping.
Marlene looked at a freshly printed sign and smiled. Beans, $4 a pound. Taters, $6 a pound. Sugar, $15 a pound. Coffee, $20 a pound. And so on.
Obviously a depressed area, my dear. Let them have their fun. Spread our wealth among the colonials, so to speak. It's good public relations, you know.
They bought their supplies and they paid for them and were gone in 30 minutes. At the edge of town, John T. pointed out a row of fresh dug graves, the mound still muddy.
Smoke Jensen came through.
Frederick glanced at Hans and arched an eyebrow.
Formidable opponent.
An old preacher talked about this country and took Smoke through it when he was just a boy. The old mountain man told Smoke all about the rendezvous he'd attended in the Snake River country back in the early 30s. The event was held close to where three Wyoming rivers meet, the Snake, Grays, and Salt. Smoke was going to test those that followed him. He was going to give them a little taste of what was in store for him if they persisted in hunting him clear up into the high lonesome of northwest Wyoming, where the peaks pushed 2.5 miles into the sky and one misstep meant death. Here in the hole is where he'd find out if those on his back trail really meant to kill him. Or if that was true, he was going to leave some of them to be buried among the aspen, Engelmann spruce, Douglas fir, and lodgepole pine. And where the mountain men used to join the wolves in their howling, lending their voices to the ever-sighing winds of the high lonesome. Gunter looked wide-eyed at the beautiful scenery that surrounded him.
Huck the leaper! Magnificent country!
Some of us will enjoy it for eternity, I think. Let's halt up here!
Frederick rode up to the point next to John T.
What's the matter?
John T. pointed to a strange design of rocks in the middle of the trail.
That's the matter.
What does it mean?
That's Blackfoot's sign for warning, telling us not to come any further.
Oh, will we get to shoot some red wild Indians?
No Injun put it there, your ladyship. Smoke Jensen done that.
How do you know that?
See that little squirmy-looking thing off to the side? That's the sign for Smoke. He's telling us that from here on, game's over.
Good, good. He's throwing down the glove. How will Smoke know we've picked up his challenge?
Because he's watching us right now. Bet on it.
Montana Jess looked at John T.
And there he is.
Yep, and there he is.
Frederick looked all around him. The silence of the deep timber was all he could feel and see.
Smoke Jensen! Your time has come to die! Not by a faster gun, but by a man who is much more intelligent than you. You'll see, Jensen. You'll see.
Von Allison took his rifle from his specially made saddle boot.
Well, come on! Our quarry is challenging us to hunt him, so let's hunt him!
John T. looked down from his saddle.
You want us in on this?
No, they're just going to toy with him a bit this time.
Uh-huh.
John T. swung down from the saddle and led his horse away. Von Allison and the others loaded up and took the caps from their telescopic sights. Von Allison grinned.
We'll have some fun with him now.
The others in his party followed Allison's example, and between the six of them put about 80 rounds into the woods.
All right.
Smoke lifted his Winchester 44-40 he'd bought back at the settlement.
Now we know.
Smoke's first round tore the saddle horn off of Von Hausen's horse and sent the animal bucking and snorting in fear. The second slug tore up the earth at Von Hausen's feet and put the German nobleman on the ground. His third slug howled wickedly off a boulder and just missed, as was his intention, Gunter's head. He hit the ground and hugged it. The women, who had never been under fire before, ran for cover. Hans gallantly stood his ground. He raised his rifle to fire at the puffs of gun smoke coming from above him, and Smoke put a round between the man's boots. Hans hit that ground and sprawled out quite unaristocratically. John T., cold-blooded killer that he was, had taken cover, just like the rest of his crew, before the echo of the first shot had died away. John T. had the general location of Smoke spotted, but damned if he was going to expose himself to Smoke's deadly fire. Not yet. They had plenty of time.
Swine! Arschluck!
Gunter saw the ladies hiding behind a large boulder.
Are you ladies all right?
Yes, we're quite all right. That man must really be of terribly low quality to fire on women, don't you think?
Now, the fact that she fired first at Smoke apparently never entered her mind.
Break up into groups! 5 groups! The first group to corner Smoke Jensen and lead me to him gets an additional $5,000! We start the hunt first thing in the morning. John T., find us a suitable place to make camp.
Briscoe killed a deer and the meat was cooking as the night began closing in around the hunting party in the Tetons. The hunters were very quiet, each with their own thoughts in this harsh land. Miles away from them, in a very carefully selected spot, Smoke sat before his own small fire, which he would soon extinguish for safety's sake, and he cooked his supper and boiled his coffee. It had been years since he'd been in this country, but all the trails and creeks and rushing mountain streams and cul-de-sacs were mapped in his mind. He was camped between Hunt Mountain and Prospector's Mountain. To the west lay Fossil Mountain, the east, Phelps Lake. Below him were the hunters. He could actually see their fires when he stepped out of the rocks which concealed his camp.
Vain, silly people, leading others to their death if they keep this up.
Smoke smiled, because you see, he could commiserate with the wolf, knew just how that animal felt, knew how it felt to be hunted for no real reason. The voice was beautiful in the night. Smoke put out his fire and wrapped up in his blankets, but sleep was elusive on this night. He wrestled with his thoughts. He knew he should take the fight to those hunting him, knew that with just one night's deadly work, he could so demoralize those manhunters that many of those left would pull out, their hearts and minds numbed with fear. So why didn't he? Because he was tired of the killing. He didn't want to spill any more blood. It was just that simple. He wished he could shout it to the world, Smoke Jensen wants no more. Wants no more? When did he ever want the killings anyway? Sure, he'd taken the fight to many people over the years, but only after they'd done harm to him or those he loved. So what made this situation any different from any of the others? What had he done to any of those people hunting him? Answer was that he had done nothing to any of them. So why all the reluctance on his part? He tried to convince himself as he turned in his blankets that it was because of the women with the group. But he knew that held little truth. From what he had seen so far, the women were just as savage and bloodthirsty as their male counterparts. They certainly hadn't shown any hesitation to fire their weapons. He'd seen that evidence this afternoon. The bottom line was that he was sick of all the killing. But there was an addendum to that. Those hunting Smoke seemed determined to kill him. So where did that leave him? What options did he have? Sleep finally overtook him as he was thinking, no options. Al Hare and his group looked at the silent timber and the towering mountains that loomed all around them. They could feel eyes on them, sense that Jensen was watching them. It was an uncomfortable feeling knowing that he could see them, but they couldn't see him.
I don't like this.
You got any better ideas on how to flush him out?
Al sat his saddle and shut his mouth, a glum expression on his face.
That's what I figured. Where the hell is Cosgrove?
Well, hell, he's right behind me a minute ago.
Something moving in the timber, right over there.
The men dismounted and ground-reined their horses, taking their rifles from the saddle boots and fanning out, moving toward the timber. Cosgrove's horse walked out of the timber, dragging its reins and trying to graze.
Rope's gone from the saddle.
Oh, what the hell does that mean?
As the men drew nearer, they heard the sounds from the gloom of the timber and the thick underbrush.
Something kicking in there, high up, about 20 foot off the ground. See it?
Yeah, but I don't know what it is. It don't look human.
Utah was the first to enter the timber from the valley. He pulled up short.
Oh, hell. It's Cosgrove. He's all trussed up and hanging from a limb. Cosgrove, what in the hell are you doing up there?
But Cosgrove couldn't answer. One of his socks was stuck in his mouth and tied in place with Cosgrove's own bandana. He was swinging from his own rope. His guns were missing from their holsters. The manhunter was lowered to the ground. The dirty sock was pulled from his mouth.
Son of a bitch trussed me up like a side of beef. He was sitting on a tree limb and drew me off like I wasn't no more than a baby. I didn't get to holler nothing for him. He whacked me up the side of the head with a club. I wasn't out no more than a couple of minutes. He's got to be close. Took my guns, too. Damn!
Eh, don't bet on him being too close. He's probably cleared out of this area and hunt some of the others.
Utah was wrong. Smoke was less than 50 yards away, flat on his belly under some brush, just listening and watching.
The man must move like a ghost.
Knock off that ghost business. He puts his pants on the same way we all do. He just got lucky, that's all.
He gave me a message to tell y'all. He said he was tired of this business.
Leave him alone. If we keep pushing, he's gonna start killing. And when he starts, he's gonna do it right. That there wasn't none of us gonna leave the High Lonesome alive. He said that no amount of money was worth our lives. You had to think about that.
Huh. Jensen had you and didn't kill you. That ain't like him. If what I'm thinking is true.
Angel looked around him at the silent timber and the towering mountains, thrusting their snow-capped peaks into the skies. The clouds were low this day, the hint of rain or snow in the air.
I do not like this place.
This place is just a place. The place ain't what we got to worry about. It's Smoke Jensen we gotta watch out for.
Smoke Jensen is this place. He is of the mountains.
You smell something?
Yes. Death.
Frederick Von Hausen faced his group of would-be killers.
Anybody want to leave? Very well. They shall commence the search at first light. John T., put out guards. Jensen will surely attack the encampment in some fashion this night. We got to be ready for him.
I am sure I hit him. You know, I seldom miss a shot.
Perhaps he's wounded.
Hans looked concerned.
There was no sign of blood, and I inspected the area carefully. If he is wounded, it is slight.
John T. looked at the man named Utah, and a concerned look flashed across his face, too.
Jensen had paid no more attention to a flesh wound than he would a mosquito bite.
You going all the way with this, John?
Until either me or Smoke Jensen is dead. It's personal.
I thought it might be. He killed a friend of yours?
He killed about a dozen friends of mine, and about a dozen friends of yours, and about a dozen friends of every man here. But I know something them royal folks over yonder don't, Utah. And you keep it to yourself, right?
If you say so.
I put it together just this morning, after the news about Cosgrove. I had me a hunch all along, and that just sewed it up in my mind.
What?
Jensen don't want to kill no more, Utah. I think he's run out of nerve.
Well, but I've been hearing you telling them counts and dukes and such.
I know what I've been telling them. I've been doing that deliberate, trying to get them skittish. I want Jensen myself, Utah. I want him bad.
I see what you mean. I had the same feeling this morning.
Think about it. Jensen's gonna slip into camp and scare the drawers off them ladies. But he ain't gonna kill Utah. He ain't got it in him no more. He's all burned out. If Tom Lilly had faced Jensen last year, Jensen would have shot him without blinking. That rummy from the town told us Jensen shot Tom in the arm. In the arm! That ain't the Smoke Jensen I've been hearing songs sung about and books read about and stories being told. See what I mean?
You're right, John T. You're gonna be famous, John T. I can see it now. The man who killed Smoke Jensen.
That's right. I want you boys just to stand back when we corner him. I want him, Utah. Me. Understood?
You got it, John T. He's all yourn.
Yeah. Maria didn't stir at the slight bumping sound in the night. That bumping sound was Smoke laying the butt of a .44 across Gunter's head. She didn't even stir when the lightly falling rain and the cold winds entered through the slit in the back of their tent. What did get her full attention was when a hard hand clamped over her mouth. Maria's wide open and frightened eyes looked into the coldest, meanest eyes she thought she'd ever seen in her life.
I'm Jensen. You didn't pull out after I roped and trussed up and warned your hired skunk today, so I thought I'd pay you a visit and tell you personally. No, your man's not dead. I just skunked him on the noggin. He'll have a headache, but nothing else when he wakes up. But if you continue to chase me, he will be dead. Do you understand that, lady?
Maria nodded her head. Smoke looked through the very dim light at the badly frightened woman.
I want to be left alone, lady. That's all I want. You people leave these mountains now. Do it tomorrow. First thing. I don't want to see any of you women hurt. But if you keep chasing me, odds are you'll get hurt. You understand?
Maria nodded her head again. Smoke turned her head with the biggest and hardest and roughest hand she had ever felt in her life.
Now, what you'll do, lady, is this. I'm leaving. You're gonna count to 100, and then you can squall and holler all you want. But if you start screaming before that real slow 100 count is over, I'm gonna turn around and fill this tent so full of lead, there isn't a chance you won't catch at least one slug. You understand that?
For the third time, Maria nodded her head. Smoke lowered her head back to the silk pillows and pulled the covers up over her eyes.
Goodbye, your ladyship. I really hope I never see you again.
And then Smoke was gone, moving silently through the rainy night.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Maria lay in her warm blankets and dutifully counted to 100.
99, 100. Smoke Jensen! He was in my tent! He manhandled me and hit Gunther on the head! $5,000 to the man who kills that son of a bitch!
But in the 2 minutes that Smoke had been gone, he covered a lot of ground, far out of the range of even the best rifle made. Nobody hit a damn thing but the raindrops. That next morning brought with it a mountain downpour. There was no way anybody was leaving camp in all this fury. Frederick von Hausen spoke with his group inside one of their rather large and opulent tents.
Nothing that Jensen has done so far agrees with all the talk about him. The man could have demoralized the camp last night. He could have killed a dozen men. He didn't. Why?
Oh, mein Gott.
Gunther shook his head and Hans shrugged his shoulders.
He hasn't lost his nerve, if that's what you're thinking. That took a lot of cold nerve to come into an armed camp. Oh no, he still has plenty of courage. But he can't kill anymore.
Now that got everybody's attention.
Add it up. That chap we met on the trail several days back, he told us about that young hooligan in the saloon back south at Brace Smoke. According to what the drifter heard, Smoke refused to be goaded into fighting him, actually walked away from the young hoodlum. A gambler killed the loudmouth moments later. And that thug, Tom Lilly. That old drunk said Smoke shot him in the arm. Smoke Jensen never shot anybody in the arm in his life. He fired at us the other day. But did he? I think not. He was shooting all around us, but not at us. He roped Cosgrove, but didn't even hurt him. Smoke Jensen can no longer kill. The game now becomes ever so much more interesting.
How do you mean, Friedrich?
We press him, push him, force him to stand and fight. And then we can all have a good laugh at his expense as we watch him stand helplessly, unable to kill. That will truly be a moment for posterity. The great legendary Smoke Jensen, unable to use his guns, reduced to tears.
This calls for champagne. I believe we can safely open one of the few bottles we brought for this occasion.
But of course. But we must save at least one bottle to drink over Smoke Jensen's body while Hans takes pictures of the event. Your camera equipment is intact. It stood the journey well, Hans.
Oh, yeah. We shall have our pictures, Frederick. I assure you of that.
Smoke took advantage of the furious storm to break camp and move north. He moved carefully, taking his time, and rode up to just south of Jenny Lake. It took him 2 days to make those few miles. The yellow arrowleaf balsam root blossoms were just opening, and when he crossed the little valley, he seemed to be moving through a living sea of yellow and green. He made a little effort to hide his tracks. He had heard the gunfire after he'd left the woman's tent, and he knew his words had been wasted. And it had saddened him. Von Hausen and his people were not going to quit. They were going to continue pushing him, pressing him, until he'd be forced to start shedding blood. Their blood, not his. Smoke caught his supper from the lake, and after eating, he moved his camp back into the rocks, where he was protected from prying eyes, the wind, and bullets. The next morning, he found a secluded and well-protected place for his horses with plenty of water and graze. He rigged a pack for himself and chose the weapons he would take that day, and they were formidable ones. He stuck a pack of crackers into his pack and set out, skirting the meadow he'd crossed and staying in the timber as much as possible as he backtracked to the trail he'd used coming in. There was no point in kidding himself any longer. He had run out of options, run out of ways to try to convince those chasing him to give it up. Those coming after him were not going to quit. This was going to be a fight to the finish. At the trail, he rigged a swing trap using a limber limb, a length of rope, and a stake set off the trail. Someone was going to have a flat-out messed-up face when the horse triggered the rope placed close to the ground. Further on up the trail, he rigged a deadfall, employing the same methods. Then he carefully chose a defensive position and waited for the action to start. Nick was at the point, riding slowly, scanning the terrain ahead of him. Jensen had left plenty of sign to follow, so there was a need to look at the ground only occasionally. His horse's hoof hit the rope and the limb sprang forward. Nick was out and sprawled on the ground when Pat Oilman found him.
Hold it up! John T., up here! Nick's down!
John T. walked up and knelt beside the bloodied Nick.
Ah, shit. He ain't dead, but his face is some messed up. And he lost some teeth and busted his nose for sure.
Hans and Frederick rode up and looked down at the fallen man.
Oh, I say now, this isn't playing fair at all. The man obviously is no sportsman.
Can he ride?
Yeah, just as soon as he comes to his senses. He took a pretty good lick to the face.
I'll get the medical kit.
Von Hausen looked at the gunfighter from Nevada.
Scout on ahead and keep your eyes open for more booby traps.
The hired gun nodded and moved out. He was soon lost from sight in the lush wilderness. John T. stood up from his squat and met the eyes of Frederick Von Hausen. The man from Nevada actually missed the deadfall when he left the trail and rode for a few hundred yards in the timber. He was riding with his rifle across the saddle horn. He turned and got back on the trail. The trail wound around a jumble of huge boulders. The man from Nevada pulled up short and tight when he saw Smoke Jensen standing in the trail right in front of him, his right hand hovering near the butt of a pistol.
I tried to warn you the best I could, but none of you would listen.
The man from Nevada stared at Jensen. His mouth was cotton dry.
None of you can say I didn't try.
Smoke vanished back behind the boulders and picked up his rifle.
Come on. All bets are off now.
Shit.
John T.'s horse triggered the deadfall, and the logs came crashing down, blocking the trail behind him and putting several horses into a panic.
Shit!
John T. left that saddle in a flying dive when he spotted the body of the man from Nevada. And if John T. had waited another second, his brains would have been splattered against the tree. Smoke's second shot tore the saddle horn off, and the horse bolted in fear. Leo Grant came riding up. 44 slug took him high in his left arm. Leo barely managed to stay in the saddle and jumped his horse into the timber.
Stay back and stay down! Get off those horses and get into the timber!
Oh, damn! I think my wings busted! Jesus, it hurts! Oh!
Quit complaining, you'll live!
Is Matt dead?
Shit! Near as I can tell, he is, Utah. Leastwise, he ain't moving, and there's an awful lot of blood on the ground.
Damn! Guess we was both wrong about Jensen.
Yeah, Von Hausen had the same idea, I'm thinking. We all misjudged Jensen.
Larry Kelly turned to glance nervously at his back trail, and his eyes widened in shock and fear. Smoke Jensen was standing in the center of the trail. A stick of dynamite tied to a short length of broken-off limb came sputtering through the air.
Oh, my God!
Pack animals ran into the timber, losing their packs and sending supplies scattering everywhere. Another stick of dynamite came hissing through the air and landed near Maria.
She's a feist!
That explosion lifted her off the ground and sent her tumbling down the hill. She landed in a creek and banged her head on a rock. Nat Reed tried to cross the trail to get a shot at Smoke, and a bullet burned his face.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus, my face! Oh, I'm dying! Sweet Lord, I'm coming home!
People of the Von Hausen party did not move from their cover for several minutes, with the exception of Maria. She had crawled from the icy waters of the creek to lay huddled, trembling and sobbing behind a large rock.
He's gone!
Even Von Hausen was shaken by the suddenness and the viciousness of the attack. He sat on a rock and willed himself to be calm.
Oh, my little Eisenpfeife and Pepper! Don't worry, I am coming!
Gunther slipped and slid and stumbled down the bank toward Maria. Halfway there, he lost his footing, and he decided he'd roll the rest of the way, landing on his ass in the cold waters of the creek.
Assemble! Let's see how much damage was done.
2 dead and 2 wounded.
Suggestions?
We ain't got nothing to use as leverage to make him come to us. If you want to go on, all we can do is keep chasing him.
I shall press on to the last man. Will the men stay?
Oh, there ain't nobody talking about quitting.
Mount the men!
Marlene fell back to ride beside old Walt. Walt was the cook for this expedition, and he was also an old gunfighter who had long since traded his pistols for a spatula.
Did you know this preacher person who raised Smoke Jensen?
Yeah, I knew of him. Yeah, tough as rawhide and wild as the wind. He taught Smoke well. Give this hunt up, Missy. You're heading for grief if you don't. Smoke's done showed you how he fights. And if you think he'll spare you because you're a woman, you're flat wrong. You start shooting at him, he'll put lead in you just as fast as he would a man.
Frederick will never quit. This is the ultimate challenge for him and for all of us.
Well, you couldn't have picked a prettier place to be buried, Missy.
You can't believe that Smoke Jensen is going to win this, do you? That is ludicrous.
I don't know what that means, Missy. But I do know this. Smoke cut down your party some yesterday. Tomorrow or the next day, he'll whittle it down by 2 or 3 more. All the while leading us north. Always north. Higher and higher into the mountains. And I'll bet you a dollar that when we get to the Northeast Lake, Jensen will have cut west.
Why are you smiling? And what significance does that direction have?
I'm smiling because Jensen is smarter than you folks. Only the whole lot of you don't have enough sense to see it. You're all a bunch of arrogant fools. The direction means that if we follow his trail, we'll soon be out of food and the only trading post open to us is on the east side of Jackson Lake. Jensen will be on the west side, heading straight north. That'll give him 2-3 days at least to get ready for us up yonder in the wilderness.
Marlene left the old cook's side in a huff. She rode straight to Von Hausen's side.
Arrogant indeed.
I know. I've been looking at maps, such as they are. They'll rest here for a time. I have to think.
The men broke for lunch, and Von Hausen walked back to the cook, gathering up a few men along the way.
Walt, you and these men take the pack horses and head up to the trading post on this little creek or river or whatever it is. We'll rendezvous here at the Snake. Marlene tells me you think we're all on a fool's mission.
That's right, your lordship on high.
And she also tells me that you think we are all arrogant and not nearly as intelligent as Smoke Jensen.
Yeah, tattling little thing, ain't she? Well, that's right. I sure said it and meant every word of it.
Old man, if I were younger, I'll give you a thrashing for saying those things about us.
No, you wouldn't, Baron Von Hausen. And you won't do it now, neither. But if you want to test your mettle, Baron, you just let me get my rig out of my pack and we'll have us a showdown right here and now.
John T. had walked up and was standing off to the side. He slowly shook his head at Von Hausen and warned him off. Frederick patted Walt on the shoulders.
Perhaps later, Walt. But now, we need you to cook for us.
Von Hausen walked away with John T. following him.
Don't never take up no challenge on fast gunning out here, Baron. Walt Webster's no man to fool with. The old man's still poisoned with the shotgun. He's laid men aplenty in their graves over the years.
Why, the man must be 70 years old.
That don't make no difference. Not out here. His daddy was a mountain man. Come out here to Washington or Oregon Territory in 1810 or so. Married him a French lady that had something to do with the Northwest Company. Walt was raised by Injuns and mountain men and the like. He was a fast gun before it become a household word, and he'll kill you, Baron. Don't crowd that old man.
Smoke cooked his supper of fresh-caught fish and fried potatoes. Then he leaned back against his saddle and enjoyed a pot of coffee just as the sun was going down. It had been 3 days since he'd ambushed Von Hausen's party, and smoke lay in a little valley just north of Ranger Peak now. He was under no illusions. He knew that Von Hausen was somewhere behind him, probably a day or a day and a half away. He climbed a high peak a couple of days back and picked him up through field glasses. At least he thought it was them. At that distance, they were no more than dots, even magnified. He decided he'd follow the snake into the Red Mountains and wait for his pursuers to come to him. There might be a few people up in that area since Smoke had heard talk about the federal government making it some sort of park a few years back. Called it Yellowstone. But Smoke didn't figure there'd be too many folks around. If there were some sightseers and gawkers, he'd just tell them to get the hell out of the way that there was about to be a shooting war. Smoke let his fire burn down to coals in the pit he'd dug. He'd wake up occasionally to add twigs and such to the coals in order to keep it going through the cool night. Smoke poured his pot empty and leaned back, trying to figure out what month it was. After some ruminations, the closest he could come was, well, maybe the latter part of March or the first part of April.
Has it been that long? Yes.
Von Hausen and his bunch had been on his back trail for weeks now, worrying at him, nipping at his damn heels like some small dog, and he was growing very weary of it. It was just a damn nuisance. Smoke had stopped worrying about any moral aspects of a situation, as he had started calling it in his mind. He'd done everything he could to end it without killing. Yep, so much for good intentions. The more Smoke thought about people being in the park area, although it was still early and the nights were cold, the more he decided against following the snake into the area. He abruptly cut east, crossed a road that had not been here the last time Smoke was in the area, and headed for the Continental Divide. The point he was looking for was just east of Pacific Creek. He crossed the divide and then cut due north, where he reached the Yellowstone River. One thing about it, Smoke thought with a faint smile, he was sure giving those behind him a chance to see some wild and beautiful country. Although he doubted that few, if any, among his pursuers would take the time or have the mental capability to appreciate the view. Smoke made his camp in a long, narrow valley sandwiched by low hills, the high peaks behind him. He'd killed a deer before entering the park boundaries and spent a day making some jerky out of the meat. He wanted to have something in his pockets to eat on in case he got cut off from his horses and supplies. He took a very quick bath in a creek in waters that almost turned him blue, but he got most of the dirt and all the fleas off of him by using strong soap. He was shaking with cold by the time he dried off and climbed into clean, dry long handles and dressed in brown shirt and jeans. He put his boots and spurs away and stayed with high-top moccasins, his breeches tucked inside and laced up. He caught some fish and broiled them over a low fire. He was out of beans and flour and lard, but, he thought, smiling, Von Hausen's group had probably resupplied at the post down by Jackson Lake, and they would have plenty. He'd just have to see about stealing some of their supplies some night, and maybe doing some headhunting while he was at it. He'd cross the Yellowstone tomorrow, and once he crossed Monument Creek, he'd be in a big lonesome once more. There, he planned on starting some fireworks. Montana Jess rode back to the main party.
He's crossed the road. He's heading for the divide.
Why, for God's sake? I thought he was going to take us into this park area.
Well, he is, Hans. But he don't want to get amongst a bunch of visitors when he opens the dance. He'll probably be waiting for us between the Beaver Dam and the monument. Take us a good week to get over there.
Old Walt smiled with deadly humor. He'd given a lot of thought to just pulling out some night and leaving these blood-crazy people all to themselves, but he wanted to stick it out and see the final outcome. He figured it was going to be right interesting.
Take the point, Utah. Jensen ain't making any effort to hide his tracks.
Well, that became very apparent the next day.
Oh, shit! You gotta come see this!
Oh, those are mine!
Andrea was looking at a pair of bloomers hanging from a tree limb by the trail.
I lost them when the pack horses bolted and scattered the supplies.
Andrea snatched the bloomers from the limb and stuffed them in her saddlebags, her face crimson.
The nerve of that man! The goal of that heathen!
Jensen has a very strange sense of humor, especially when one considers he does not have that much longer to live.
Walt shook his head at that remark. These people still hadn't got it through their noggins that Jensen was not planning on dying. Jensen was planning on killing him. Walt met the dark and serious eyes of Angel Cortez. Angel nodded his head and smiled at Walt. The two men reached a silent understanding. The group soon pulled out, and both of the men hung back at the rear of the column.
These people, I think they are playing a fool's game.
I know they are.
I have tried to convince my compadre, Valdez, that what we are doing is the same as hunting a panther in his own territory while armed with no more than a stick. He does not see it that way. I think Valdez will die in this terrible wilderness.
If his lordship up yonder don't call this fool thing off, there's gonna be a lot of people who die up here.
Do you think Jensen would harm the women?
I don't know. I don't think so. No decent man wants to harm a female. And Jensen is a decent man. I think he'll do everything in his power not to harm him. He might turn them female manhunters over his knee and wallop the bejesus out of their backsides. Lord knows they sure need it.
Now to witness that would be worth the ride, I think.
Sure would be some caterwauling going on, for a fact.
Why can't the men we ride with see that Jensen is goading us on? He is deliberately leading us into another ambush. He's going to whittle us down one by one. You see it, I see it. Why not the others?
Hell, them blue bloods up yonder is too damned arrogant to see anything past the end of their noses. The rest of these outlaws and gunslicks? Well, all they can see is big money dangling in front of them.
And the reputation of being among the men who killed Smoke Jensen.
True. But what they're gonna get, Angel, is nothing but a very cold and lonely grave.
Is there such a thing as a grave that is not cold and lonely, Senor?
Smoke had laid down a trail that a one-eyed city slicker could follow. The gunfighters and manhunters traveling with Von Housen and party knew this was too easy. Smoke was setting them up. But none of them really knew this country. Only John T. in Utah and maybe Montana Jess had ever been in this area, except for Walt Webster. And the old cook had told only Angel about his knowledge of the wilderness. The two of them had become good friends on the long ride north.
You pretty good with that iron, huh, boy?
I am quick enough, but I have never started a fight in my life. Well, only one. A vaquero down in New Mexico territory tried to take my girl from me one night. He called me many bad names. I invited him to step outside. He stepped. He called me more bad names and went for his pistol. I was faster. Now I can never go back to New Mexico territory.
And the girl?
She married and now has two babies. I think she had forgotten about me before I had left the county.
Monument Creek is just ahead, Angel. About 5 more miles. We'll be off this plateau as soon as we cross the creek.
And?
That's when Jensen will open this dance.
Mountains loomed up in front of the party. Von Housen halted the parade and consulted a map.
Monument Creek!
Von Housen turned his head and looked at the mesa to his right.
Scheißerfeist!
The others followed his gaze, scratched into the side of the millions-year-old rock formation in huge letters, was a message. Straight across the creek, people. The initials S.J. followed that.
That arrogant bastard!
Walt and Angel exchanged glances. John T. smiled as he took off his hat and scratched his head. They'd have to split up and ride cautious from here on in, riding with rifles across the saddle horn. Jensen was through playing games. John T. moved his horse forward, reining in by Baron Von Housen.
You're doing exactly what he wants to do. You're losing your temper.
Von Housen glared at the gunfighter for a long moment, then slowly began calming himself. He nodded his head in agreement.
You're right, of course. Absolutely correct. Now is not the time to lose one's composure. Not with the quarry so close. We'll camp here for the night.
Yes, sir.
A little bit later, as the men began making camp, Von Housen walked to where Walt was setting up the cook tent.
How are the supplies holding out?
Somebody better start killing some deer. The larder's getting mighty low.
Is the shooting of animals permitted in the national park?
Well, now, ain't that beat all. Now, that is a right interesting question to ask, your nobleship. Here you done chased a man about 500 miles trying to kill him for sport. Here you stand worrying about whether it's against the law to shoot a deer in the park. You are the beatenest fella I believe I have ever seen.
I see nothing unusual about it. Nothing unusual at all. I have always considered myself a law-abiding man.
Do tell! Well, now, that's plumb admirable of you. Yes, sir, sure is.
Thank you.
Von Housen wheeled about and marched away.
Angel, that fella can act as crazy as a damn lizard on a hot rock.
See, but really he is just as sane as you or I. He is a man who has always gotten his way, I think, and a man who has no regard for the lives of others, those who work for him, and those who he hunts.
Yeah, let's get the beans to cooking. I'll make a good bait of biscuits, too. We'll feed them right tonight. For some of them, it just might be the last supper they ever get.
Von Housen and his party rode all the next day. They stopped for the night at a spring near the base of a towering mountain. Pat Gilman brought Von Housen a note he'd found under a small rock near the spring. Then the gunfighter just got the hell out of the way.
Thought you might camp here. Water's good. How's your supplies holding out, Von Housen? S.J.
Scheiße Feist! Mein Gott und kein der Schülerbuffen sießen kann! Husch werden ganze Mutters! Tomorrow, Jensen dies.
Von Housen pointed a finger at Utah.
You find him, Utah! When you do, report back to me immediately. We will launch a frontal assault.
I ain't real sure what that means.
Walt cut his eyes to the gunfighter.
It means that some of you won't be coming back.
I'll shut up.
Utah looked at Angel.
What are you now, the cook's helper?
See, you have some objections to that?
Then I tell you now, you will be paid the same as the cook.
That is quite all right with me, Gunther. I will sleep much better at night.
Angel took off his gun belt and stowed it in his saddlebags.
Shh, I cannot believe you are actually doing this. You are too good with a gun to make biscuits and stew.
What we are doing is wrong. Smoke Jensen does not deserve to be hunted down like a rabid animal. I say to you in friendship, give up this madness.
I never thought you would lose your nerve, Angel. You are a coward.
Forget it. Utah's a dick. Money's clouding his eyes. I tell you this for a fact, Angel. You and me will about be the only ones riding out of this mess.
But we will have calluses on our hands from all the grave digging, no?
Yeah, but less cooking and washing up dishes, right?
Tom Ritter was not pleased with the carrying on of Walt and his new buddy Angel.
Shit. Sounds like a gaggle of old women. I think they both done lost their brains.
Or found them.
Now just what the hell does that mean, Leo? Are you turning yellow on us, too?
John T. stepped quickly between the two men, just as Leo was dropping his hand to the butt of his .45.
Stand easy, boys.
Fine. What the hell is a frontal assault, John T.?
Something that we're not gonna do. Von Housen will cool down by morning. He's just mad right now, that's all. You boys get some coffee and settle down. We might just bring this hunt to a close by this time tomorrow.
And when we do, we'll be pocket heavy with money, won't we?
I said damn right. And Jensen will be dead.
Utah Red sensed more than heard movement behind him and to his right. He twisted in the saddle just as a rope settled around him and jerked him from his horse. Utah struggled to free himself of the loop, and he managed to slip loose and was reaching for his guns when a hard fist connected solidly against the side of his jaw. Utah made a dive for his guns, sliding belly down on the rocks and the dirt. Smoke gave him a foot in the face that slowed his slide and further bloodied his mouth. Smoke tried to rein in his fiery temper, but he failed miserably. The last thing Utah remembered before he lost consciousness was his daddy's warning that if the boy didn't straighten up, he'd never amount to a damn thing. Pride Anderson and Luke Kennedy untied the ropes that held Utah belly down across his saddle. They noticed that Utah's guns were gone, shotguns and rifle. Then both of them grimaced at the mess that was once Utah's face. Walt walked up with a pan of water and a cloth.
Yeah, Jensen sure whooped the snot out of him. He's out for a week at least.
The party had stopped for their nooning, and Utah decided to scout on ahead for signs of Jensen. He found much more than he had bargained for.
Teeth knocked out, nose busted, both eyes swelled shut. I ain't seen but a couple of men whoop this bad in all my life.
Marlene stood away from the growing circle of men, a worried look on her face and in her eyes. Nothing was turning out the way they'd planned. This was supposed to have been fun. Hunt down and shoot a Western gunslinger, celebrate with a bottle of champagne, and return to Europe to boast about it among their limited circle of friends. But none of them had taken into consideration that the men of the American West, who had helped tame this country, didn't like to be hunted down. None of them had planned on their quarry fighting back so damn savagely. Marlene just didn't feel like Smoke Jensen was really in the spirit of the things. He certainly was not playing fair.
Oh, it's it hurts.
I can't feel that he's got any ribs busted, but he's sure out of it. I guess Jensen took his guns.
I'll check his saddlebags.
Bob Hogan walked to Utah's horse.
I know he's got a bottle in there. He could use a drink, I reckon.
A rattlesnake was wound around his right arm, the big fanged mouth striking at his face again and again. The men stood around helplessly. There was nothing they could do. The big rattler presented no target with its writhing and striking. Bob fell backward to the ground, his face blackened and swelling from the venom. His hands were clenched into fists of pain, and his throat was too swollen to allow sound to push through. He kicked and jerked a couple of times, and then lay still as the massive injection of poison killed him stone dead.
What kind of man would do something like that?
A man like Smoke Jensen. One of you boys kill that rattler and somebody get the shovels. Angel, get a blanket to wrap Bob up in. I'll go get the good book out of my gear.
Von Hausen's legs were trembling so badly he had to sit down on a log and try to regain his composure. He was in mild shock, sweating profusely. He clenched his hands into fists to still the trembling. He had never seen anything like this in all his years. He tried to put himself into the mind of Smoke Jensen, but he couldn't do it. But it never occurred to him to call off the hunt.
Be interesting to see what the Baron does now.
Yes, Utah is out for a good 3 or 4 days. His face is so swollen he can't open his eyes, and Bob is dead. That's 3 dead and 2 wounded, and nobody has yet to get a clear shot at Jensen. A smart man would give this up.
You don't see any of these manhunters and so-called gunslingers pulling out, do you, Angel?
No.
Well, that tells you how smart they are right there.
John T. walked over to Von Hausen, who was sitting in a camp chair in front of his tent drinking coffee. He looked up at John T. and shook his head.
Barbaric act on Jensen's part.
Yes, sir.
I wonder how long he had that snake.
They probably just caught it and come up with the idea. Yeah, a snake got away before anyone could shoot it.
Wonderful.
Holes dug and Bob's ready for planting. Holt's gonna read words over him.
The ladies are still quite distraught. They won't be attending. Andrea had to take to her bed.
Yeah, sorry to hear that, Baron.
I'll get my jacket and be right with you. I'll join you at the services.
At the gravesite, John T. noticed that both Angel and Walt were wearing white handkerchiefs tied around their upper arm.
What the hell's all that about?
We want Jensen to know we ain't hunting him.
John T. just shook his head in disgust. The entire camp, except for the ladies, gathered around the grave and Walt read from the Bible. The body was dumped in the hole and Walt closed his Bible. Just as two men picked up shovels and started covering Bob, a sputtering stick of dynamite landed in the center of the camp about 100 yards away from the burial site.
What the hell was that?
The horses tore loose their picket pins and went galloping in all directions. One of them ran behind Gunter and Maria's tent, a rope tangling around the horse's neck and bringing the tent down and taking it with him. Maria was in the middle of a sponge bath one second and standing smooth out in the open the next second, frozen in wide-eyed open mouth shock for all to see. And she had a lot for the men to see, too. Then she fainted. John T. saw another stick of dynamite come sputtering through the dust.
Get down!
This stick of dynamite took out the cook tent, ruining the pot of beans and demolishing the Dutch oven.
Oh, crap! I wish she hadn't have done that!
At least he saved the coffee pot. Never mind.
Andrea and Marlene came staggering out of what was left of their tents in various stages of undress, hair all disheveled and looking like sisters of Medusa. The men worked quickly to calm themselves and take stock of the situation. The tents were gone. Most of their contents went up with them. The women had been hustled off after Maria was revived and a robe draped over her, and they were all positioned safely behind a jumble of rocks under guard.
Oh, one big coffee pot left. The cook's pot's busted. The oven's bent plumb out of shape and broke besides. The big skillet ain't got no handle. Oh, there's flour and beans and lard all over the damn place.
Men were out looking for and rounding up their horses. They never did find the horse that took Maria's tent with it, but they did find what was left of the tent. Von Hausen found his camp chair and sat down in it. He picked himself up with as much dignity as he could muster and brushed off the dirt from his riding breeches.
How far are we from civilization?
Well, there's a trading post up on the Shoshone. That'd be north and east of us. As the crow flies, it's about 30 miles or so.
Could you get there, Montana?
Oh, yeah. Best way to go would be stay on the south side of Eagle Peak, then cross the north end of the Absarica Range and hit either Eagle or Kitty Creek. Follow that on up to the Shoshone.
And that would take how long?
Days. Some of that's mighty rough country.
Von Hausen tossed a small sack to the man.
There's more than ample funds to resupply and to hire more men, if you can find them. We're going to fall back to that plateau we crossed several miles back and set up a defensive position. That's where we'll be. Assign men to go with him, John T. I shall not leave this wilderness until I have spat upon your grave, Smoke Jensen. I swear it.
John T. assigned 4 guards to a shift. The shift to be changed every 2 hours so no one would get sleepy and let Jensen slip into the new camp.
Keep a sharp eye out, boys, and keep in mind that Jensen can move like a goddamn ghost.
At that moment, Frederick, Hans, and Gunter were making a pact that they would carry out this campaign right down to the last man. Smoke Jensen was going to die, or they would all die trying.
It is now a matter of honor. If we fail in this hunt, we will be ridiculed back home. I won't have that.
Nor will I.
We may possess all the money in the world, but if we are stripped of our honor, we would have nothing. We must go on with this hunt, and we must be victorious.
I have spoken with the women. They are also in agreement that this sporting event must continue. They have been humiliated, and they are very, very angry.
The mood of the men?
John T. is testing the waters now, so to speak.
At that moment, John T. was speaking with a small group of gunslingers.
It works hard enough to get men like us, and times are changing all around us. I just can't see him turning my back on no good-paying job like this one.
I ain't about to give up this here hunt. We stand to make more money doing this than we could make in 5 years doing anything else.
Montana and them with him told me that they was in all the way. Let me go talk to the others.
Tom Ritter and Gil Webb and Marty Boswell were in. So were Pride Anderson, Lou Kennedy, Cat Brown, Paul Mellum, and Nat Reed. Utah Red mumbled that he'd done swore on his mother's tintype to kill Smoke Jensen. Wanted to torture him first, make it last a long time. Ford, Jerry Watkins, Mike Hunt, and Nick were in all the way. John T. went back to report to his bosses.
Yeah, they're in. For the money, and because their pride's been hurt.
Excellent. Montana said he could probably round up 3 or 4 more men. He thought he knew where there was a long-range shooter. I wanted Mike Savage, but he's somewhere down in Arizona territory at this time. Montana said the man he had in mind was better. We'll see.
All this waiting is just giving Jensen more time to dig in and plan.
It can't be helped. We've got to be resupplied if this expedition is to continue with any hope of success. Look at it this way. There is no way Jensen can get to us up here on this flat. We have an excellent view in all directions and a fine field of fire. And the supplies will afford us some much-needed creature comforts. We have to keep the ladies in mind, John T.
Whatever you say, boss. Send a couple of men back south to see if they could kill a deer or elk or something. So we'll have a change from beans and hardtack, hopefully.
Excellent. I wish them a successful hunt.
After John T. had walked away from the group, Von Hausen rubbed his hands together and smiled, a cruel glint in his eyes.
I feel better now. We've had our setbacks, but that is to be expected in any campaign. I feel that we've ironed out the kinks and learned some hard but valuable lessons. I think that from this point on, success is inevitable. Let's drink to it, gentlemen. To the deaths of Smoke Jensen!